Well, hello there. God bless you. We're so glad to be with you today. We're going to look at Luke chapter 17. And Luke was a wonderful writer in that he was trying to reach the Gentiles, the Romans, his friend. He talks about him in the book of Acts, Theophilus. I don't know if that, I believe it means a friend of God, but don't hold me to it. But I know Theo is a name for God, Theos. And it's so wonderful to know that God was able to reach a man who was an intellectual, whose Greek was classically written. They knew he was a man who had an education. So many times people who have money or have an education, sometimes they believe they can't receive Christ because the foolishness of Christ's preaching seems to bear against their intellectual understanding. And the Lord wants us to know something, that his foolishness is greater than our intelligence. That's what it says in Corinthians. So we need to adhere to seeking God with our whole heart and knowing what he's talking about when he says the kingdom of hand, the kingdom of God is at hand. So we're going to look at this kingdom and the aspect of it in regards to the word of God. But before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, that you allow us this opportunity to preach from your word. Words that those who don't know you might consider to be foolishness. But Lord, we ask now, if there's anyone that's seeking you with their whole heart, that it might be open. Open from heaven. That born again movement that takes place by your grace, removing us from the ignorance of God to the salvation of Christ. That we can believe and trust in him and love him, and become what he wants us to be, that we might fulfill your purpose, Lord, because we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. Amen. Okay, we're going to be in Luke. Go to chapter 17. And we're going to be dealing with the spiritual aspects of the kingdom. And we're going to be dealing with the second coming of Christ. It's so wonderful that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, free or bond, can ask him to come into their life and he will save them. Boys, little boys and little girls, people of all ages, that the Lord has the power through his grace to help us to be changed, to go from death to life, to go from mortality to immortality. Verse 20 says this, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Underline it if you want to in your book. Outline it. Highlight it. 21. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You know, some of the people believe that these Pharisees were truly seeking to know about the kingdom. We know some people get us aside and they try to, especially with preachers, they try to see if you know exactly what you're talking about or how deep can you go into the word of God in regards to being able to give an answer to their questions. And the Lord wants to let us know, and the Father let us all know through Job, that he doesn't have to answer any questions. He just lets you, he knows he's God, and that our minds are so feeble compared to his, that he doesn't have to prove himself. But we see that Christ, talks about his second coming in this part of the book of Luke. And Luke addresses the issues several times. So here in 17, we're going to look at it from another point of view. It says here in verse 22, "And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under the heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and he reject and be rejected of his generation." Now, you know, the kingdom of God was Christ. When they say, oh, the kingdom of heaven is near, the kingdom of God is near, he was saying, I am the kingdom. I represent the kingdom. And he's letting us know that his kingdom is right here on earth, is in our hearts. That God can come into our hearts as a gentleman if we should let him. It's so strange that the Lord can be everywhere at the same time, has all knowledge of everything, and can see everything. But yet, here we are, human beings, and he cannot come into our hearts until we invite him. Because he will not offend you in regards to going against your will on something that's so serious of you handing your life over, because your heart represents your life. And he says, he's showing us, though, about what we need to look for, because the Jews rejected him as their king, and it hurt him. See, before these chapters here in Luke, you saw Christ as one who was very popular with the people, but with the organized religious set, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and those who just couldn't see it all, professional religious folk, he was received. But later on, as the chapters progress, you find that Jesus lost his popularity. And he also had to find out who was going to continue to follow him. And the disciples knew, who else is there to follow but you, Master? So Jesus found out those, as most of us do, through crisis, who are our friends and those who love us, who don't even leave us when we are at our lowest point. They chose to stay with him. And so he reveals things to them and to those who were listening at the time. He said it's going to be like the days of Noah, is what he says in verse 28. And as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. He said, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given to marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You know, right now, brothers and sisters, we see a lot of things converging in regards to Bible prophecy and in regards to truth. But it seems many, many of our people who say they are believers, or who are probably believers, cannot see the coming of Christ. And we don't know if it's because they have gotten complacent, or they have so many distractions. But the Lord is saying it's going to be like the days of Noah, just like it is today. People concerned more about when you finish church, whether you're going to go down to Joe's Crab Shack, or don't stay too late because we might miss part of the Super Bowl. It's always something that keeps our minds away from the things of God, especially today. When we look at the book of Acts, we're going to see that it says something that's really, really, at this time of this recording, lets us know that God's soon return is very soon. Soon and very soon, as the singer said. Look at Acts chapter 1. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. I'm turning my pages. I'm going. I'm trying to get there. And I'm there. It says here that Jesus said in verse 8 of 1 and 8, he says about these days, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And it talks about also the promise of his return also. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, and this verse 11 of chapter 1, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, a lot of people like to say this about Christ, that he's not equal with God because he didn't know when he was going to return. But I want to let you know that there's a truth concerning that. He didn't need to know at that time, because at that time he had met Father, had come through himself into the world through Christ Jesus. And when Christ left us, he left his spirit through the Holy Spirit. So the Father always told Jesus what to say. And Jesus always communicates to the Holy Spirit on what to say. Jesus always said, I don't say anything unless the Father show me. And the Holy Spirit is the same way with Christ. The Spirit of Christ is in the Holy Ghost. And you can say, well, I don't agree with that doctrine or not, but all you got to do is read your word and you'll see it. But he's trying to get us to become accustomed to knowing what the Spirit is saying and understanding that the Spirit is trying to, today, just as it was trying to convict him during the days of Noah, that the Father, he does have patience. His love is very patient. But his patience runs out, as it says in Genesis 6. There will come a time when he will no longer strive with man. Right now, he's trying to do all he can so that no one will perish. He's making it possible for anybody who might be sitting at home today who can just say, Lord Jesus, come to my heart and save me. I see the insanity that is going on in the world. I see all the things where people are just killing one another out of just rage. I see how life has turned for the worse. I see how the world is one catastrophe after another. And the only thing that explains it is the foolishness of preaching through the Word of God. Look here what it says here, how what was going to be the way when Christ returns. He says it's going to be like in the book of Joel. He says there's going to be earthquakes and there's going to be floods and there's going to be volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. And it's strange. All these things have been happening in Hawaii for more than a month. And you know what happens after more than a month of people hearing about it? They turn a deaf ear to it. But let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. This is a Bible study. You like reading the Bible, don't you? Oh, you don't? Oh, okay, that's okay. We'll look at it anyway together today. Revelation chapter 1. Now, you know, this book says, chapter 1 and 1, it says, the revelation, not revelations, it's just one revelation, and it comes from Christ. It came from the Father. Let's see who this revelation came to. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him after he had died and went to heaven, the Father now told him everything, because he didn't need it before that. You know, the Bible says God cannot lie, and Christ did never sin. He never told a lie. And if someone had asked him when was going to be the end of the world, he could have told him the date, but he wouldn't. But he didn't. He wasn't equipped to have the date, because he didn't need to have the date. But they didn't need the date during the dark ages. They need it right now, though. We don't need the date now, but we know the season. And he said to see the season, because he said it's going to be like the days of Noah. And the days of Noah are upon us right now. So here it is. He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Who are the servants? That's us. Which must shortly come to pass. Those that were there then, and his servants who are here today. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So, I know they say it's the revelation of St. John Divine, but really it's the revelation of Christ to John. And you can get a blessing just from reading this. He said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. That's the problem today. People are not hearing. People don't have spiritual ears or eyes, and you'll see that all through the word. Let him that has an ear, let him hear. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The Bible says that time in regards to God is like a 1,000 years is a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. The Lord's been away from us 2,000 years, so that means he's really, in his time, it's only been a couple of days. Lord have mercy. Boy, I guess it's going to be like that for eternity for us too. Time will move in a different, we'll be moving not in time, but in eternity eventually. Look here in verse 7 here. It's talking about when he comes back at the rapture. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then 8 says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Christ is going to return soon, brothers and sisters. He's going to return soon. He wants you to know the Spirit, but the kingdom of God is here right now in your heart. You can have the promises of the kingdom. You can have the power of the kingdom. You can have the love of the kingdom. You can have the sober mind of the kingdom if you just open up your heart and ask Christ to come in. That's what he's trying to reach us before this time of the end comes. You need to know that he is coming. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And that's why now, as the church, we need to wake up. We need to shake ourselves and wake up. Because look at Revelation 19, and I'm going to close it off. Look at Revelation 19, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. Let's look at 19 and 11. It says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He's coming. He's coming back soon, brothers and sisters. You're probably going to be with him. You'll probably be waiting to ride with him. Look at Revelation chapter 17. And look at verse 14. It says, These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Is this the world? They're going to try to make war with God. They want to kill God. That's Satan's goal. He wants to kill God. He wants to kill God. Isn't that something? And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him, who are they? They are called and chosen and faithful. That's those who of us Christians who have not lost our crown, as it says in Revelation 3:11. Make sure you don't lose your crown. Make sure you're not left behind. Make sure you're not left behind. And if you are doing the things of God, if you're just being obedient and doing the works that he would have you to do, not necessarily everything that you want to do, but the things that he calls you to do, and you're obedient to those things, you'll be those who've been called. And that means that, and he's called all of us, but there are some who have not prepared themselves. So there's so many are called, but few are chosen. That's because many have not prepared themselves. But for those who are called and they prepare themselves by becoming disciples and learning the things of the Lord and hearing his voice and obeying the Holy Spirit, and those that are chosen, they've been placed in some type of position of ministry. And then it says, those who have been faithful. That means they didn't quit. They endured until the end. And that's who I want. That's where I want to be. And I already think I already got my horse's name in my head when I want to call my horse. So that's up to you if you're going to get yours. But that's what we want to give you today. Just know that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that's already in existence because Christ is there. But there's a kingdom that's going to be on earth also that's going to be for 1,000 years. But until that 1,000 years comes, you need to keep your head to the sky, seeking him, looking for him on a moment-by-moment basis, because he could come back today. God bless you. Let's pray now. Lord, we thank you for your word, for it has power to change our minds and our thoughts and to help us to endure even when we're sick, even when we're hurting, even when people have said things to hurt our hearts. But yet, Lord, we need to always keep our hearts set for you, because we know you can heal them. Thank you for your truth and that you're coming back one day. Lord, bless those who are in Hawaii, those who are with the volcanoes, the earthquakes, and all the things that we're suffering now, the tornadoes and the hurricanes that are happening in other parts of our country. It seems as if every day we're having some catastrophe. Somebody's killing somebody in the schools against the innocent children. But Lord, we ask you now to bless our minds and help us to hold on to your unchanging hand until you return. But to be about your business, be about your work as you direct us, because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.